You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sport Television Network. We've got a full house on the program today. We're going to send it straight to the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Dave Malinsky is going to join us, the author of Point Blank over at sportsbookreview.com. The professor, Dave Malinsky, joins us. We'll talk a little NBA basketball. We'll talk NFL football, a little college football with Dave Malinsky. Donnie Wrightside. I understand Donnie Wrightside's on the America's top 10 wanted list right now because he's been killing it. Donnie Wrightside's on fire in the National Football League. I think he's won 11 of his last 13 official documented picks. Donnie Wrightside steps up and then we'll talk some NFL football, but we'll focus in on tonight's action. We've got a couple of college football games on tap tonight. It's bad. You know, we're talking about MAC teams, 2-7, you know. The best team on the board tonight are the Akron Zips. That's all you need to know. And they're getting 7 points. So, in other words, you know who we're taking this evening. We cashed it last night. That's why we teased this football game last night. I thought it would be a lower scoring game. A game gets over the number. Backbreaker. I feel your pain, guys, if you had the under, man. Last couple of weeks, it's been a dark cloud over us. You know, it's like Rosie Perez and White Man Can't Jump. Even when you win, you really lose. And yeah, we're losing. You know, we win a couple games, lose a couple games, and at the end of the night, I'm down again. Real bad beats last night, man. That Miami Heat, they can go screw themselves, those guys. Like, thanks for showing up last night. You know, I'm getting 16 points. They lose by 17. There's nothing like losing $300 at 1:17 a.m. in the morning on a Monday night. It's like, it's just one of those. Twix! It was a setup. They were all Twix. Hey, damn right it was a setup. All right. So let's just get down to business. I'm tired of standing here, all right? You know, we got to go back to me sitting down. I'm too old for this crap. It's like Krusty the Clown. My feet hurt, all right? So let's start off with the intro here. College football. Hey, it's been a great season. As bad as the NFL has been, that's how good college football has been. And we got some high-stakes games coming up this weekend. You know, what makes college football, though? You know, the pageantry, the passion, the importance of every game on a weekly basis. But what really makes college sports are the fans. And seriously, that's what makes it. You watch a college football game, you hear, like, the shrieks. You hear girls, like, shrieking. And it's just like it's an overly emotional teenage emo rock, meltdown, you know, going around a sporting event. The emotions of the fans are insane. Like, really, you know, these games, they really don't matter. Listen, I'm a lifelong Michigan fan. If Michigan beats Ohio State, I still have to pay my rent the next day, okay? Like, I'm still bald. I'm not getting any younger, all right? So I understand these are all games, but, you know, when it comes to the NFL, really, you know, it just is. It's a business. College football is a passion, and it trickles down to the fans. Now, you know, a lot of people saw over the weekend a couple of fans get out of hand, specifically the chick in Miami. And if you haven't seen it, I don't know where the hell you've been. But if you haven't seen it, let's roll the tape here. So this is at the Miami Hurricane game against Virginia Tech on Saturday night in Miami. And, you know, this is what happened as a woman was getting kicked out of the game. Takes a swing at the cop. So a lot of people are stating that the cop was out of line for punching her in the face. Now, listen, I'm the first person to come out and criticize the police and law enforcement when they shoot innocent people, which they seem to do quite often. But this woman was not innocent. And I ask you, if you swung like this at the back of a cop's head in Miami, Florida, what the hell do you think is going to happen to you? Well, you know, exactly what happened to her. Now, it's amazing to me. And it's pretty much like pinko commies on the left that come out. Oh, my God, charge the policeman. Charge the policeman for what? For picking up some drunk chick? Turns out this girl's a nurse. Next time you go to the hospital, nice to know that this is the chick that's going to be attending to you. You know what? I got kicked out of the same stadium before. And I was even drunker than she was. You know, the only thing I'll say is, what's up with them taking her out like a Pearl Jam concert, though? So, you know, I don't know if that's like textbook policing right there. But I got really, really smashed and wasted. I had $12,000 on the under of the national championship game. It was Tim Tebow and Sam Bradford. I had good seats, too. We were sitting, me and Cam were sitting next to Isaiah Thomas, all right? Not the current Isaiah, the real Isaiah Thomas, all right? The Hall of Famer. So, yeah, like, we were with the big wigs and stuff. And, you know, we got blasted, all right? We started drinking, we started drinking on the plane type of thing. Got drunk in South Beach all day, went to the game. I bet $12,000 on the over and $5,000 on the Florida Gators. The Florida Gators won, but I lost the over. And right around like midway through the third quarter of play or so, when I realized this game wasn't going over, I started to turn, you know, and basically I got asked to leave. In a very similar situation, too. I think the cop that kicked me out even looked like the dude that punched the chick. So for the record, me, Gabriel Morenci, got kicked out of the same stadium. I didn't get punched in the face by a cop. You know why? Because I didn't try to kick the cop in the head. All right? I don't care, man. If you've got breast or not, I don't care if you're Caitlyn Jenner or Boy George. You take a shot at a cop, you're going to get it back. We're talking about Miami. You're lucky she didn't get shot in the face, baby, all right? So settle the hell down and stop drinking so much at football games. All right, now let's go. So listen, feel free to disagree. A lot of people are like, you can't hit a woman no matter what. Can't hit a woman no matter what. Well, let me tell you. Remember Lorena Bobbitt? What if you woke up and Lorena Bobbitt was cutting off your junk? Would you punch her in the face? I would. I'm just saying. All right. So feel free to disagree. I want you to debate on this one, all right? Was the cop justified or not? And for the record, the cops aren't apologizing for this in Miami. It's Florida, people, all right? It's Florida. I cannot stress this enough. It's the state of Florida. Anything goes in Florida. Anything goes. But if you think they went too far, anyways, they've actually now charged her for swinging at a cop as well, just for good measure. That's a little excessive. The thing is, they weren't even going to kick her out. You know, they weren't going to arrest her. They were just kicking her out. The cop said, we just wanted to ask her to leave. She was causing a disturbance all night. She was annoying everybody. She went too far, and then she wouldn't leave. Things got out of control, just like they got out of control in Alabama as well, except this one's a little bit different. This is grandma. Grandma had a smoke. Cops told her, hey, grandma, you can't smoke in the stadium, baby. And, well, this is how this ended. Look at the little girl. There's a little girl in a number 16 jersey here freaking out. Mommy. They're not going to cover the point spread, are they? Oh, help. Hey, baby, maybe you shouldn't have blown smoke in the cop's face. Typical. It's typical. Typical Pinkos. You know, she's Johnny Tough Guy with the cop. Yeah, because if I go to Alabama, I'm going to blow smoke in a cop's face. You know what you say when you see a cop in Alabama? Yes, sir. No, sir. Pretty simple. Once again, I've been to Alabama, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I'm not the most law-abiding person. I've been to Alabama. I didn't get dragged out of a stadium by a cop because I didn't blow smoke in his face. As I stated, you know what? If the cops shoot some innocent dude, then I'll call them out for it. But as far as I'm concerned, law enforcement just doing their jobs. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. For the record, camera 2, Drew approves as well. Job well done by Miami PD, all right? I don't know, man. It's Miami. That lady's probably high on bath salts or something. You don't know what's going on. Right. Dober Doc Games. They know what's going on over at Dober Doc Games. Fantasy sports just got a lot easier to play and win with the hottest new games by Dober Doc Games. No more long lineups or complicated salary caps. Create a lineup of at least three matchups you want, and you're good to go. Just pick three matchups. You're not playing in any tournament. You're not playing against hundreds of thousands of other people. You just pick three over-unders for three individualistic player fantasy over-under point props. You go 3 for 3, you get paid 6 to 1. That's Dober Doc Games. Use promo code PUNT. Just enter. Just go over, sign in, log in, put in PUNT. You're going to get a free roll. Promo code PUNT, free contest. Cash prizes just for joining. You can win cash fast and easy at Dober Doc Games. Sign up now at Dober Doc Games. Let's bring in the professor, Dave Malinsky, straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. And Dave, I just did an intro of the show, and I couldn't resist. We went lowbrow, Springer style here. We showed the video of the chick at the Miami Hurricane game getting punched out by the cop, and then there's a grandma that blew a cigarette. She was having a smoke during the game in the stands, and you can see everyone's kind of complaining about it. And a cop comes over and says, hey, put it out. Instead of putting it out, she blew it in his face, Dave. So he grabbed her and pulled her out, but... I just figured, you know, it was pretty much a perfect definition of America, that shot. And she's wearing, it's a lady. I believe she's wearing a white MAGA hat, too. She blows the smoke in the cop's face at an Alabama game, no less. College football, stakes are high, Dave.
It's something that I try to tell people to be very cautious with out there these days, because people are trying to say, look, what's gone wrong with us? Look at all this stuff. For most of the human history, there weren't cameras out there. What if this is just who we are? And that it's not that we've fallen down or anything. Maybe as human beings, maybe this is pretty much all we ever were, but we can see it now, whereas before we kept it hidden.
You know, Dave, I'm going to be honest. I was at the Jets and the Bills game on Thursday at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, and I didn't have any issues. Jet fans were very, very nice. Stadium staff was fine. But some of these games are pretty hostile. When was the last time, Dave, like you sat like with the drunks, like in the stands at one of these games?
Well, first we should qualify last week. It wasn't that you didn't have issues at the game. Usually you're the issue.
Yeah.
You know, usually it's the other fans having the issues with you. So the fact that you behaved well.
That's true. Yeah, me not having an issue isn't a barometer. You're right. Because, yeah, I could have caused a lot of people other issues, but I was fine.
Now, I don't have many yet, because the only games I go see these days are almost strictly Major League Baseball. I usually head up to see the Mariners, you know, play a series or two every year.
Yeah.
And Seattle's got to have one of the best-behaved crowds. They're good fans, but it's a well-behaved crowd up there. So it's just not anything that I run into.
All right, Dave. So they're a pretty well-behaved crowd at Lambeau, but they're a pretty disappointed crowd last night. You know, it's one thing when you leave the stadium after your team loses. It's another thing leaving the stadium when you pretty much know your season's over with. And I think the Green Bay Packers are coming to that conclusion right now, that even coming out of the bye, they just had absolutely no spark at all with Brett Hundley at the quarterback position.
Well, let's talk about something that's a big, big handicapping factor. And let's bring in a college game first to set this up a little bit. People wonder why Ohio State got knocked out cold at Iowa once they fell behind. I mean, at one point, Iowa went on a 31-0 run. The Ohio State kids, the fifth-year seniors, the guys have been around for a long time, had one game in their entire career where the playoffs weren't on the line, and that was the last game against Michigan in 2015 when they were going to play hard anyway. So once it got away at Iowa, their whole season got away. Now think about the Packers. They haven't missed the playoffs since 2008. There's almost no one out there on this team that ever played for a Packer team that wasn't in the playoffs. They may struggle to respond the rest of the way. And here's the big issue, Gabe, that people need to think about in terms of energy with professional football teams. If you're a Packer defender and you're up against Brett Hundley in practice all week, you know you don't have much chance to win on Sunday. So what's your motivation? You know Brett Hundley better than anybody if you're out there practicing against him. It gets hard for these teams to find that extra energy.
And, you know, it's interesting. The Chicago Bears last night, Dave, the preliminary opening number, the soft opening number was 3 the Bears being 3-point favorites. The markets have reacted, and here the Chicago Bears are 5-point favorites in this football game this week against the Green Bay Packers. Game is in Chicago.
It tells us how good Aaron Rodgers really is, doesn't it? Now, part of that today
Or how mediocre Mike McCarthy really is as well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for that. Part of the movement today, also, Brian Bulaga now lost for the season for the Packers.
Yeah.
So they finally had a game where they had all of their offensive linemen available. They couldn't get through it anyway. So one is the personnel isn't necessarily there for Green Bay, but the rest is the attitude. If you're not accustomed to being out of the playoffs, do you keep fighting and competing hard? We'll see how good McCarthy is as a motivator.
Well, I've got Jordy Nelson on a fantasy team. If you got anyone in the leagues watching, I'll trade him if you want. I'm screwed.
Yeah, how hard does Jordy Nelson want to work now where you know that you don't run a pattern more than 20 yards down the field because by the time you get open, Brett Hundley's already either on his back or he's not going to be able to connect to you anyway.
He couldn't hide his frustration on the sidelines a couple of times last night. You know, he's a pro. He's not going to be throwing his helmet, but there were a couple of shots. There were a couple of shots of Nelson where he looked like I do on a Sunday night after I just lost all my money. Like, he just sort of looked, like, frustrated and, yeah, we're done. Like, you could just tell the body language. And before we move on, Dave, it's interesting. You and I discussed this actually during the game. The body language of Jim Caldwell wasn't very good after the game. You would have thought if they didn't have the graphic up with the score, 27-10 or whatever it was at the time, at the end of the game, Dave, and you didn't know and you were looking at Jim Caldwell, you'd think, yeah, that Lions lost in Green Bay again. He didn't crack a smile, like not even half a smile, and he generally was angry because the Lions couldn't punch it in. And, Dave, they even tried. Like, they literally tried at the end of the game. They could have taken a knee. They could have just ran it. No, they tried, Dave. Remember the end of the two-minute warning? They couldn't punch it in. And, you know, you could tell Caldwell was pissed.
You can win in Green Bay, in the state the Packers are in with red zone struggles. You're not going to beat the Vikings or the Eagles or the Seahawks or the Cowboys in the playoffs. That's 8 trips to the red zone the last 2 games in which Detroit didn't score a touchdown. And, Gabe, it might not be fixable. They don't have a power running back that they can use near the goal line. And they had Calvin Johnson as the prototype red zone receiver for a long time. They don't have that guy. The biggest receiver they have, Kenny Galladay, a 6'4 rookie, he hasn't played in over a month because of a hamstring injury. So they just don't have the pieces to succeed in the red zone. And they know they have to solve that if they're going to go anywhere in the playoffs.
It's amazing what a couple of weeks can do in a National Football League, Dave. As you know, the Minnesota Vikings, I was high on this team coming into the year. They lose Bradford, and then boom, Dalvin Cook goes down. And you think they can't overcome this. And we saw them go to Pittsburgh, and they lost 26-9 to the Steelers. They can't overcome this. And now here they are. They're 6-2. They're -300 to win a division. It's a two-horse race right now in this division, Dave. But Lions are spotting them 2 games, and the Lions just aren't fundamentally or consistent enough to me want to jump in this. I'd like to, considering we only have to catch one team with the Lions at +350, but I just don't see the Lions coming back and winning this division.
No, keep in mind that it's not that Minnesota has had to overcome that much. It's the 2017 NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
And another year, these Viking issues would have reared their head. Now, here's what we're hearing today, and this is going to be interesting to follow along. Looks like Sam Bradford is probably going to need surgery. So Teddy Bridgewater will get activated, and they've got a decision to make. Do you go with Bridgewater early and get him experience so that he's ready come January? Or do you stay with Case Keenum? I mean, Keenum would be fine to manage him through the rest of the regular season, but I don't think you win in January with Case Keenum.
Dave, Thursday night football, the Seattle Seahawks, -5.5 at Arizona. Arizona, another team just devastated by injuries, yet they've battled through this. They're 4-4 straight up right now. It's a big football game for Arizona on their home field. It's a rivalry, so these two teams have often played close games. Remember the 6-6 tie that they played in the past. Normally, the Seattle Seahawks wouldn't be panicking at this time of the year, and I don't think Pete Carroll is panicking, but at the same point in time, Normally, they don't have the L.A. Rams in their division with a 6-2 record and certain to be 7-2 after a date with the Houston Texans this week. This is a big week for the NFC West's future as well, Dave, for the Rams, for Arizona and Seattle. We're going to learn a lot about the future of this division this week.
Yeah, I think we can write Arizona off in that if you look at how they got Sunday's win, if we take away the two kneel downs on the final possession, 39 of their 71 plays, they either handed the ball to Adrian Peterson or threw a pass to him. That's a pretty big workload for a guy his age. Reason they did that, when Peterson has the ball, Drew Stanton doesn't. That's the key to their – so all these people said, you know, let's give Drew Stanton a chance. Maybe he can do it. No, I don't like Drew Stanton. I think we'll see him get exposed Thursday night because I don't think Peterson gets his legs back on a short week off of that kind of workload. And if Peterson's not carrying the load, you just can't put it on Stanton's shoulders against this class of defense.
Dave, the common theme of the year already is teams ready to tap out. And we're still in the first week of November right now, which is amazing to me. People, I mean, fantasy football playoffs are never in the final weeks of the season, Dave, because of the chaos that they provide. You know, bettors don't like betting week 17 in the National Football League, but we might have six week 17s this year, Dave. 7 week 17s this year in the National Football League. I mean, the New York Giants, pretty clear the Giants have tapped out already right now. Denver playing on national television Sunday night. We'll see what kind of pride they show against the Patriots. I think the Texans could be close to tapping out if they get blasted this week against the Rams. I don't know. San Francisco doesn't seem to care about anything, and they're in some delusional, oh, everything's fine, we're building for next year, and they keep on getting pasted every week. The Colts are managing. Even though Colts coming off a win, we got this Andrew Luck stuff that Ursae's privately calling him out and stating that it's all in his head. It could be a tricky final 2 months of the year in the National Football League, Dave.
It is, because I've never seen more teams in a disinterested state than now. Because the teams you want to focus on the most are the teams who thought they were something, and now they aren't. So you talk about the Giants, talk about the Packers, talk about the Buccaneers, and the Texans having caught it midseason. Now they know because of their injury. So you've got a cluster of teams who thought they had a real shot at the playoffs. It's getting away from them. Maybe one of your favorite teams to talk about gets on this list too, the Bengals. And how about this game? The last two Bengal road games in the second half, 41 snaps, 42 yards, no points. 1 yard per play.
Great halftime adjustments.
Half of the last two road games.
Great halftime adjustments by Lazor and by Marvin Lewis. Andy Dalton, I don't know how it's possible to be halfway through an NFL season, start every game, and not throw one touchdown pass in the fourth quarter. I guess if you look up the opposite of clutch in the dictionary, you'll see Andy Dalton's goofball face. College football, Dave. College football's been a lot of fun this year, this weekend. High stakes games this weekend as well. Georgia and Auburn, people are already burning my Twitter up asking me about this game. Catholics versus convicts, can't believe, man, we got an old school Notre Dame-Miami game that, you know, has national championship implications in it. And TCU's right back in this thing right now with the Oklahoma Sooners. What's your take on this college football card this weekend? And did you see anything big happening?
Yeah, I think we might see something big in the SEC. I don't think Georgia is supposed to be the road favorite at Auburn. These teams are extremely even. You're not going to drive the ball up and down the field on the Georgia defense. They're so fundamentally sound. So if you're going to beat them, you have to be able to make a play. Auburn can make a play. Jared Sturdum has the arm strength. They've got the stuff in the playbook where they could make a couple of plays. And Auburn's defensive front can stand up to the Georgia ground game. So let's let the playoffs start to get muddled this week. Call for Auburn to beat Georgia outright.
And, you know, I like where you're going with this, Dave. And I got to believe there's a hell of a lot more pressure on Georgia than there is Auburn in this spot. Auburn's 7-2. They like where they are right now. They win this game. They're right in it. They control their own destiny against Alabama as well. Plus, like I said, they're not playing. Last week I took the Gamecocks, Dave. I believe that, you know, that collar starts to tighten, man. The pressure starts, you know, the heat, the temperature starts to rise. And I think it rises on the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, it does, because this was not a team when the season started that expected to be here.
And now everybody's got them penciled in. Oh, they're going to go to the playoffs, even if they lose the SEC. Like, they've already been given some sort of crutch by the public as well, Dave, which is bad.
Yeah, Georgia's on the right side of the SEC. They're in the East, not the West. So they got a little better path. They did have the crossover draw against Auburn. So this is legit for them. But this is not a team that really came into season expecting to go this far. That's a different level of pressure. None of these kids have been in this type of hunt before, and especially under this coach. Remember, this is only a second-year staff that's got to handle these kids under this pressure. So I think we may see some of that rear its head this week.
Well, an experienced staff in the San Antonio Spurs, Clippers and Spurs tonight. Last night, the overnight number was 3, 3.5. I was a little bit more comfortable, but it's only 4 right now. Spurs 4-1 at home, lone loss to Golden State. Spurs 5-0 this season when scoring at least 100 points. The Clippers started the season with 4 straight wins, but they're 1-4 straight up and ATS, Dave, in their last 5 basketball games. What do you make of this one? This is a marquee game tonight in the NBA. Spurs laying 4 on their home court, 8:30 Eastern tip-off.
Yeah, some of this line rising is Gallinari. Looks like he's probably a no-go for the Clippers. I think the Clippers are going to struggle all year in the end game against tough competition because I don't know where the offense comes from. They just don't have that natural play at point guard. I mean, one of the big games they stole in an end game situation, the win at Portland, it's on a 3-pointer by Blake Griffin. That's not what you design things for. If you have to rely on that, you have a problem. I think that Clipper endgame offense will be a problem in all of these step-up games. It'll be an issue for them tonight.
Dave Malinsky, you can read his column, and he talks about the Denver Broncos, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, quarterback situations and how they're moving forward over at sportsbookreview.com. Vegas Point Blank is Dave's Twitter handle. It's always a pleasure, Dave. Thanks for the time.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
There's Dave Malinsky with us. All right, we'll take a quick break. Donnie Wrightside steps up, and then me and Donnie kick it every Sunday, and he's been killing the NFL. Donnie joins us next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, let's rock and roll. Matt Modica is going to join us in a couple of minutes. Matt's already doing fantasy baseball drafts, which a little hardcore and over the top, I would say, right? Didn't the World Series end like 48 hours ago? I mean, we don't even know who's going to be on any teams. What are these guys drafting? what if Stanton gets traded to one of the teams in the Japanese League? He's on the Tokyo Giants now. And just for the record, the Tokyo Giants are better than the New York Giants, but everybody's better than the New York Giants. All right, so we're now joined by Donnie Wrightside, who this is pretty, I'm very impressed that Donnie's joining us, pretty bold. This is like the dudes that like rob a house and broadcast it live on Facebook. As I said earlier, Donnie's he's on the America's Most Top 10 Wanted list because he's been killing it. 11-2 in the NFL, his last 13 documented picks, so... He's like, he's showing his face. He should be on the run right now, but he's showing his face. What's going on, Donnie?
Having a good time. So glad to be back, Gabe. Love to come on the show, talk a little NFL football. Got some action on the card tonight, so we should have some fun this week, buddy.
Yeah, before we get to the NFL, you're right. We do have some action, and it's hit or miss, these midweek MAC games. I've had some great memories in the old Dan LeFevre, Nate Davis days when the MAC was really humming along, and I've had some really bad memories. And I've asked myself, why did I just put $1,400 on a MAC game on a Tuesday night? So I've been on both sides of the equation with these football games. And I'm not going overly crazy tonight. But I am intrigued by the Akron Zips tonight at Miami of Ohio. I'm seeing 6:52 right now. To me, there's a lot of things on the Zips side in this football game, Donnie. They've won the last 4 in the series. They've won 4 of their last 5 games overall this year. Miami are in a free fall. They've lost 4 of their last 5 football games. And I know four of six Miami's losses are by 8 points or less, so they have been in games. But now you're asking them to actually win this game by a touchdown. Not to mention the Zips are a live dog. They're 6-3 against the spread this year. I really don't understand this line, Donnie.
Yeah, the only thing you could like take a look at, if you're right about Akron. I mean, they have looked good, winning 4 out of 5 straight up and also against the spread. They have a good quarterback who's seasoned, a veteran guy in Sheriff Woody, as they call him, out of Akron. You know, 3 good wide receivers. They did lose their top tailback a couple weeks ago entering into MAC play. But if we take a look, I think the whole game keys here, Gabe, on Miami of Ohio, is Gus Ragland going to be healthy? And he's going to be healthy and playing good football. That's the whole point. If we look last year about Miami Ohio, the Redhawks, they had that crazy season opening up 0-6 and then finishing the season with 6 straight wins before they headed into a bowl game. That was all keyed by Gus Ragland, and I think you're reflecting in that number. It opened up, you know, 4.5, 5, depending where you're getting at. Now sitting at closer to 7, I think people are anticipating that Gus Ragland's going to be in this football game tonight, Gabe.
You know, and we should note the Zips allow an average of 257 yards through the air, which is worse than the MAC. Actually, so they are vulnerable through the air. Weather could be a factor tonight. And, you know, listen, Akron have been a stone-cold under team this year. I think only one of their games, Donnie, and in fact it is, one game has gone over the number only. I'm looking, it's a low number tonight, but weather could be a factor. It's 5 degrees, it's raining, 16-mile-an-hour winds. It's a classic November MAC game.
Yeah, no, 2 good running backs. I mean, if you're going to look at some weather conditions that game, I think you're going to give the edge to Miami of Ohio in the backfield. 2 decent running backs. They do have a very good wide receiver in Gardner there who can pick it up. But again, this game's going to factor in. It's hard. You're right. You know, a midweek game, if this game's on a Saturday game, maybe we're not betting on the game. But since it's, you know, these are standalone games with Maction on Tuesday and Wednesday, it all comes down to Ragland. To me, if you're looking at the football game, if Ragland is going to be healthy in this one, I still would lean on taking the Miami Ohio Redhawks in this situation. But looking back at Akron, they're a tough team and a quarterback that can make plays out of the pocket with Woodson. It should be a good one tonight. All comes down to the health. I'm going to lean on and say, you know what? I think Ragland's going to be healthy tonight. I'll lay the 7 here with Miami of Ohio.
You know what, Donnie? There's without a doubt. If this game was on Saturday, I mean, we're not taking a look at it. Like, let's be real. All right. I think somebody just made microwave popcorn in this building, I believe. Which, yeah, microwave popcorn's like Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, even if you're not thinking about it, once you smell it, you want to eat it after. And that's the problem. And I saw you weren't a fan of my Pizza Hut order the other night, eh, Donnie?
No, that's horrible. I mean, when we meet up next time, whether it be the IFBC or just somewhere around town, New York City, Toronto, wherever it is, we got to go out and get some real good pizza. I can't believe you went after Pizza Hut on that one game. Very disappointing. Very disappointing.
Triple box deal. I enjoyed it too. It's pretty. You know, listen, I'm a mom and pop pizza guy, Donnie. You know, when I was in New York, I had some mom and pop pizza, but. There's not a lot of mom and pops left, man. Mom and pop passed away a little while ago.
Give out to the big corporation. You're right.
Yeah, sure. Mom and pop passed away a little while ago. All right, so me and Donnie disagree on the Akron and the Miami game. Bowling Green and Buffalo. Falcons 2-7 straight up, 2-and on the spread. It's a year to forget, yet they've actually played better football over the last couple of weeks. The Bulls are 3-6, so they're looking to run the table and get bowl eligible. It's not going to happen. But they're an impressive 7-2 against the spread on the season, yet they're normally not laying points like this. The Bulls have lost 4 games in a row. Bowling Green have won 6 in a row in this series. Listen, Bowling Green can't stop anybody. There should be points put up on the board in this football game. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, if we're taking a look at games from each side, Gabe, you're right. If you look at Bowling Green, look at the 2-7, they're not a very good football team, but they do have two really good running backs with Cleveland and also Claire, the young freshman. Also getting back, instead of going with James Morgan, who's played most of the season, Daigie has been a pretty good quarterback. He won the last game that they started. He's going to be back in play tonight. If you're looking from a Buffalo perspective here, you got to like the fact that Tyree Jackson's going to come back. He did get his game out of the way after missing 3 to 4 weeks with that knee injury versus Akron. They weren't able to win that game, even though they did have a lead late in that football game. You're going to lean on the ground game. It's going to be Reed. It's going to be Jackson. It's going to be Reed option for Buffalo. I think Buffalo overall is a better coached football team, but the key ingredient in this game, Gabe, that we have to look at, do I think Bowling Green can score? Yes, but they only have their 2 tackles playing tonight, a right tackle and a left tackle. They're healthy. They lost 4 starting linemen there, so they're going to be without their center and both guards and the backup at that position. That's going to play into this game. I wouldn't like Buffalo when it opened up, Gabe, open maybe 11, 11.5, now sitting around 8, 7.5. It's hard to take Buffalo, you're right, as that winning. I think they're the overall better team here, but I can't take Bowling Green on the road if they're not going to be able to protect the quarterback and try to lean on that running game. I actually would lean on Buffalo in this situation, even though it is about a 7.5 spread, and I think that that Bowling Green can keep it close. If you can't block, you don't have an offensive line, and maybe another one of those players gets injured tonight, it's going to be all bad news for Bowling Green. I'm going to lean at the home team again here with the Buffalo Bulls.
Yeah, I was thinking about a Johnny Public safe parlay. Chicago Bulls. Chicago Bulls actually play the Toronto Raptors. Yeah, the Raptors on the money line and the Buffalo Bulls on the money line. Because I don't think Buffalo loses the game, and I know the Raptors are going to win as 11-point favorites. That's minus 190, though. So you're not getting a lot of value there at minus 190. So, yeah, Donnie right side, Donnie chalk side this evening. Looking to lay the points in the max. So let's talk some NFL football right now, Donnie. Cowboys and Falcons. Falcons with Steve Sarkisian. You know, last year, Donnie, they averaged 34.1 points per game. 34.1 points per game. Now, even if Shanahan was back as the offensive coordinator, I wouldn't expect them to average 34.1 points a game again. So there was going to be a drop-off. But this year, right now, they're averaging 21.2 points per game. We're talking about a 12.9 point differential right now. Nearly, that is two touchdowns, minus the extra points. It's insane to me that there's been this much of a drop-off with the Atlanta Falcon offense, who are three-point favorites against the Cowboys this week.
Yeah, three straight good wins by the Dallas Cowboys. San Francisco, I'd say what you want, bad football team, but they put them away. Washington, always a tough division game on the road in the rain. They put them away. A nice win versus Kansas City at home the previous week. Yeah, you're right, Gabe. Looking at Atlanta, if somebody were to told you last five games, they scored 17 against Buffalo, 17 versus Miami, 7 versus New England, 25 the Jets, and 17 versus the Carolina Panthers. With that offense, something is clearly amiss. When I break this game down, I'm actually still trying to make a case for the Atlanta Falcons this one, figuring that they're going to be at home. It's one of those games they have to win. Season is on the line. If I look from a Dallas perspective, you can make like a 30 for 30 out of this one. What if I told you their best running back option, Zeke Elliott, is not going to play in this game? The second wide receiver on the team, Terrence Williams, is probably going to miss this game with an ankle injury. Yep. And your top wide receiver, Dez Bryant, got nicked up late in that ballgame, going to have an ankle injury. So Dallas is going to come in hot, but a little bit banged up at some key positions. Also, Tyron Smith did get a little bit nicked up as their superstar left tackle. I'm trying to build a case early in the week for Atlanta. It's minus three right now. I just think, people are waiting for that foot to drop here, Gabe. Will Ezekiel Elliott be suspended this week or play? It could be one of those take the air out of the balloon or fill that balloon up because it's going to be playing the rest of the year here, Gabe.
Yeah, Tony Romo almost seemed enthusiastic about it. If I was a Cowboy fan, I'd be like, what are you so happy about, Tony? Tony's like, I tell you what, guys, they could be without Elliott, Dez Bryant, and Williams next week. And he sounded excited when he was saying, and I was like, oh, yeah, sounds like I'll be betting against them next week. But it's like the soap opera, it's like the old show Dallas, the TV show. You're like, really, you got to follow the Cowboys' local media on a daily basis, their Twitter feeds on an hourly basis to find out who's in, who's out, what the deal is with Elliott as well. But this is the definition of a circle the wagons game for the Atlanta Falcons, Donnie. I mean, it really is.
You're exactly right about that. And you want to know where the psyche of Dallas is. I like the way Dallas is playing football. With Sean Lee, Gabe, we talk about on our closing line show, when coming back, Sean Lee makes all the difference on that defense. He's healthy. He's playing well. Dallas's defense had a marked improvement over the past 4 to 5 weeks with him coming back and playing football. But one of those things also is you're going through that tough stretch. You just beat the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Now you're going to go. You're going to play a tough road game versus an NFC opponent. And then on deck, Sunday Night Football the very next week at home, you're going to have the Philadelphia Eagles. A tough one here for Dallas. Going to show the metal, make or break. Here, I'm waiting to see if Ezekiel Elliott's going to be in or out, and I don't buy this game where they say, well, their offensive line is really good and they got a lot of backups that can come in and play football and take over for Ezekiel Elliott. I don't buy that one bit. You need your best overall player in the football game and carrying you the rest of the season. I don't buy into this running back by committee. They'll be just fine here.
I'm really looking forward to seeing that Rams-Eagles game. What is that, December 10th, I believe it is?
Fantastic game out in L.A., yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think the Vikings play the Rams too. I could be wrong. I could be wrong about that, but I think they do actually. So, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out down the stretches. Donnie's an Eagles fan. All right, Donnie, great stuff as always, my man. We'll catch up with you later in the week. Check out Donnie's videos daily basis over at Sportsbook Review's YouTube page. Always a pleasure, Donnie.
Appreciate it very much, Gabe. Very professional show. Fantastic host there by you, and I look forward to doing it soon, buddy. Take care.
Great job, Donnie. Thanks for the kind words. There's Donnie right side with us. Yeah, he's scorching. As you can see, Donnie knows his stuff. It's 11-2, his last 13 documented NFL picks. Check him out. Donnie Rightside. Matt Modica joins us next. CTM Baseball on Twitter. We talk some football and maybe a little baseball.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Marancio. We're going to try to track down Matt Modica right now, CTM about baseball. Matt was in Arizona drafting baseball. Okay, really? I'm going to ask him, who'd you take? but there's a lot of crazy baseball rumors, actually. Stanton being at the front of this, that Derek Jeter and the Marlins, they're going to move on. They don't, they're going to start over, basically. They don't want to pay Stanton. And the Boston Red Sox are supposedly the front runners right now for Stanton services. Yeah, you never know. The Dodgers could get in the mix. All right. We didn't get to do our DraftKings lineup last week. I'm disappointed, and I appreciate the couple of you out there, actually, that cared, considering how crappy my lineups have been this year. It's been frustrating. But I'm looking at this week, and it's a tricky week in fantasy football this week, actually, man. You know, there's just so many bad games and so many bad quarterbacks. There's really only a couple of choices this week. And a quarterback and a team that everyone's raving about right now, and props to Cameron Drew. He was all over the Saints coming into this year. Saints playing good football. They won six games in a row right now, 6-2 record, laying 2.5 points at the Buffalo Bills. Let's bring in Matt Modica right now. Matt is a Buffalo Bill fan who wasn't at the game last Thursday, so I question how big of a Bills fan you really are, Matt. But I know you're out of town. How you doing?
I'm doing good, yeah. Sorry I missed you and Sean last week. But, you know, that was typical Bills fashion to blow that game versus the Jets. It's unfortunate because, 5-2, we thought maybe you could have had a nice season.
I kind of expected it, to be honest. It was a flat spot. And the Jets don't suck. But I think it puts the Bills in a good spot this week, actually. I think it was getting to their head a little bit. They thought they were better than they were. We've seen this picture before with the Buffalo Bills. People in Buffalo are already, people in Buffalo treat the Bills players so good anyways, even when they're terrible. So even when the Bills win a couple of games, suddenly it's like they won the Super Bowl or something like that. I think they needed a cold shower and a little wake-up call. And it's funny because the Saints are 2.5-point favorites right now. People are acting like they're an unbeatable team. I'm not buying it. I like the Bills this week. And for all you fantasy players out there, weather is going to be a factor in Buffalo. It's not going to be nice weather. It's going to be typical, dreary, rainy Buffalo weather at this time of the year.
Yeah, no, Gabe, I hear what you're saying. You know, playing at home and playing on the road are two different things. Both defenses have allowed 15 total touchdowns on the season. And the Saints secondary has been pretty much shut down. Surprisingly, they have allowed 10 touchdowns in the air and 5 on the ground. But Marcus Lattimore is a star on the rise. I think this is going to be a really tough game, and I think the way that the Saints are built now, it's a different Saints formula to win. They got the two-headed monster in the backfield. You still got an elite-type receiver in Michael Thomas. So I think the Bills are going to have a hard time. Could they win this game? Yes, but I think this is going to go down to the wire. I think it's going to be really close. Field goal wins it. But I'm not super confident in the Bills pulling it out.
I don't. You raise a good point as far as it being a different Saints team. They do run the ball more now with Kamara as well. That is a good point that you raise. But at the same point in time, it's a difficult spot for the Saints to be playing an early game in Buffalo in bad weather. And, one thing, Dave Malinsky brought this up last week, and it was a great point. It was sort of a warning for about Adrian Peterson this week, Matt. Adrian Peterson had a big game, and then what happened? Everyone in the fantasy world, including myself, because we're all dumb sheep that follow everything. So we all, next week, got to have AP to line up against the Rams. Rams defense, this and that. What did he have, 9 yards, 19 yards? So same thing. you know, it'd be interesting to see these older dudes. They have these big games, and they rarely followed up. Malinsky brought it up. It was a good point that McCoy would be a little bit worn out Thursday against the Jets. He's going to be refreshed now, which that's an angle I like for the Bills coming into this football game as well. I think the Bills beat them. And, you know, Drew Brees is $6,900, the second highest quarterback on the board of DraftKings this week. And, you know, guys, I think it's risky against this Bills defense. Could be a lower scoring game. I don't see it. Cowboys and Falcons is the highest total on the board this week at 50.5. And Dak Prescott is the most expensive quarterback. But I tell you what, we just talked about this a couple of minutes ago on the show from a betting perspective. The Dallas Cowboys, man, you don't know who the hell's going to play for this team ever, Matt.
Yeah, no, that's a big thing. Coming up, we got to wait till Thursday. For some reason, we can't have it done today. And, you know, it's an off day in the NFL. But, yeah, that's going to be huge. Without Zeke, it's a different team. I don't care if it's Alfred Morris or Darren McFadden or whoever. It's not Zeke Elliott. Dak has grown into his own. He's been a hell of a quarterback. I'd rather pay up for Dak than take Drew Brees. Because I think, you know, the running game is more of a weapon for the Saints as opposed to having to air it out.
Yeah, Goff is $6,700. He's at home in Los Angeles. The Rams offense is lighting it up. Houston are on the verge of tapping out. You know, guys, just for the record this week, there's just so many bad games in the NFL, man. You got Josh McCown versus Fitzpatrick, Kaiser versus Manning. You go, man, we're already in the garbage time. We're halfway through the National Football League. So that's why you're already looking forward to baseball, Matt. You know, so really, you're already drafting fantasy baseball right now? Like, free agency hasn't started. The GM meetings haven't started yet.
We do our inaugural draft, that first pitch, Arizona. I'll start drafting really competitively around Thanksgiving for the high stakes fantasy baseball and stuff like that. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where Stanton ends up. They seem content on trading him and, you know, see what they can get to bring back to that franchise, which needs a lot of work tomorrow.
Well, we'll see if the Dodgers step up and bring a Stanton in. You know, they have the money to do it. They have the prospects to do it as well. And, you know, being one game short of the World Series, I think they're gonna go all in once again. I wouldn't expect the Dodgers anything less from the Dodgers. And a big rumor, Matt, of course, Boston Red Sox, man. Stanton, man, in Boston would be pretty freaking scary.
Yeah, I think it would have to be like the Boston. He would fit perfectly. Even in L.A., I think he'd be a great fit for Los Angeles. He's got that kind of a personality.
They could trade Devers in Boston, too, right? There's prospects that they could give up. They got some young guys.
Yeah, no, Boston has prospects, you know, has young guys. Dodgers obviously have it. And so do the Cardinals. And that's going to be interesting to see if St. Louis, which has been rumored as well, can now pull off this deal and what young arms they're willing to give up.
I doubt St. Louis. It'd be good for St. Louis. I doubt it just because they're too cheap. I don't see them wanting to pay the big money. But we got to get out of here, Matt. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, man.
You got it. Thanks, Jim.
There's Matt Modica. We'll just take a quick break. We'll come back with our plays of the day. We got a lot of plays.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. All right, we've got plays for you, college football, NBA, and NHL. Last night, we won in the NFL, we killed it in the NHL, and we lost in the NBA. moral of the story is, guys, if you're a degenerate gambler, it's hard to bet three sports and win in all three sports on a nightly basis. So as one of my favorites always to say, Ian McDonald, proceed with caution. All right, Akron plus the 7. I don't know why Miami of Ohio are this big favorites. I don't like betting against the Buffalo Bulls, but give me Bowling Green plus the points in a high-scoring game. I like the NBA card a lot. Give me the Pacers plus a point and a half. New York Knicks have won 5 of 6, make it 6 of 7. Clippers have lost 4 of 5. San Antonio gets it done tonight, laying 4 points. Give me the Philadelphia 76ers, but now Embiid is listed as out, so proceed with caution. Freaking NBA. All right, Trailblazers win. Canadians win in reg, and the game goes under 6. May the winners be yours.